Blog Talk Radio.
Of a brother on this good Sunday evening. As always, it's a lovely Sunday. Sunday, just something about Sunday is it's easy. Like Commodores and Lionel Richie, it's easy. Sunday's just easy. Remember, co-hosts, that y'all know how they feel about Sunday because I done told you how I feel. What's going on, fellas? What's up for this good Sunday?
What up, world? Boy Bone.
It's my Saturday.
Yeah, I always
enjoy Sunday.
What's going on?
That's it.
Yes, you don't really feel any particular way about it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for right now. That's all you're going to get.
Hey.
So with that, we're moving into today's In the Know. First topic on the In the Know. President Obama winning the vote as worst president since World War II. President Obama is the top vote getter as worst president of the last 12, according to a Quinnipiac poll. Almost half of the voters also said Americans would be better off if Mitt Romney had won the 2012 election. President Obama came in first in the poll with 33%, followed by former President George W. Bush with 28%. Third was 13%, which was former President Richard Nixon, who resigned in disgrace 40 years ago next month. What's your boys' outlook on that?
Poll is biased. Next topic.
You know what? I almost feel the same way. I don't like that. I don't like that poll at all. I don't like the fact that they put it out like that. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Who did you poll?
Thank you. Who exactly? Who was involved in the poll? What is their outlook on a good or bad president? What makes a good or bad president?
Right.
No. Man, he got Bin Laden.
Okay, everybody was looking at all that. And my thing is, too, you know, we have to put some kind of stock in the fact that most presidents ain't like in the office anyway. But we do see that President Obama is probably overly unlikely compared to a lot of other presidents for some apparent reason. We won't go into that now because that could be a whole show. But I think the main thing of it that I took out of it was you would rather just say this man doing bad because you don't like him than to really look at what he's done.
My question is, we've been hearing impeach Obama since he got elected in 2008. Was it 8?
Yeah, it was 8, but he went in office in 9.
How did he get reelected?
Right. The same polls was out before he got reelected. But for some reason, when the vote came out, he won 51% to 47%.
That tells me right there. They
the
polled. They polling who they want to poll.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They polling for the results. They told the results they wanted, so they polled the people that they knew they would get those results.
This is demographics on the poll. I mean, it's a poll.
I don't like the polls anyway because you could have made a poll up.
Yeah,
somebody could have sat there and we polled a certain amount of people at this president. Well, who did you poll?
In the last two presidential elections, I think the exit polls was totally off. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't like they really got no concrete thing on anything anymore.
One thing about it, these are the last couple of years y'all got to deal with. So suck it up.
Suck it up.
It is what it is at this point.
Hey. Suck it out.
Everybody's going to resign to the fact that he's going to be there in 2016.
I'm inclined to believe after he's out of office, people will start getting love again.
Yeah, it always happens. I think his legacy will transcend outside office than it will inside office.
Definitely.
In the current time. Anyway.
Basically, we won't see the effect of his office until he's out.
And that's the way
they're going to have, and you know how it's going to play out? They're going to, I'm going to say they. Are going to get their president, one of their people in there, and he's going to reap the benefits of what Obama set up.
Yeah.
And they're going to be, he's the best president ever.
Yeah.
It's messed
up. Who is the best president? The next president or our current president? Because, like, let's go back to John Gruden. Mm-hmm. John Gruden was such a good coach, but you lived off what Tony Dungy did.
Yeah.
Gruden got the credit. So will the next president get credit?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Even in this article,
get the credit.
Even in this article, I was seeing where they say a lot of President Clinton's success came from the prior president, George W.H. Bush, White House administration. But it always happened that way. Look what President Obama walked into.
Yeah, he just got a raw deal.
So now if he finishes in straightening everything out, the next president come in, he's going to get all the blessings.
Yeah, it's cakewalk.
Yeah.
Compared to what he had to go through.
Anything is a cakewalk for anybody getting there now. Really, honestly, compared to what we see.
I don't know. You can't necessarily say that.
Yeah, you can't, because we didn't know where to see that. So that's
you
true.
Can't say that.
That's true, too. But we'll stop beating up on that. But it is what it is. That's the poll. And we are inclined to believe that the demographic may be a little off on the poll. This is a good one, though. I know y'all boys don't like this. One sap. Stiffs waitress on tip. Then explains himself on Twitter.
Let's get to the explanation.
Okay.
You know.
And this is a good one, too. Sapp and a couple of friends went to a local sports bar to watch the U.S. soccer team play its World Cup match. Mm-hmm. He and his friends' bill came up to $69.39. No big deal. But then, the waitress did not get a tip. And Sapp made sure the waitress knew he didn't just somehow forget to give her no tip. The message on the receipt was, and this is no tip, but it's a message on the receipt. And I quote, "Boys don't tip," end quote. Which seems odd at first, right? Because the waitress is the one who leaked this out that he didn't tip and this was out put on it. So chances of this being fake seem reasonably high in the beginning. Like somebody just made this up on Sapp. Until Sapp himself shot back on Twitter. Dan Rogel, the ESPN journalist who ended up with the receipt, tweeted, quote, "Restaurant server says Warren Sapp came to watch U.S. game, stiffed her on tip," end quote. Sapp replied via Twitter to Darren Rogel, quote, "Darren, you wasn't there. So, hashtag S-H-O-O-F-L-Y, shoe fly." So this is that reply to him. Another Twitter follower replied, @WarrenSapp, "You're right. Boys don't tip. but men do. Hashtag man up. Okay. Shot replied via Twitter to this follower. He said, she kept calling us boys, so the tip fit. End quote.
Okay. When I originally heard this story, what I got was that they were disrespected by the
right.
Women. All right. So in that case, I agree with him not tipping. Now, though, hearing so she referred to them as boys.
He said. More in the article, he was saying like she was, it wasn't really a good service, and I guess she kept calling him, "How you boys doing, boy?"
What's wrong with that? Her saying boy. Now if the service was bad, the service
right.
was bad. Okay, that in itself warrants me not tipping you. But I mean, I think
what's
he might
wrong
be.
With that? This is a man who doesn't want to be referred to
as a boy. It's a personal thing. Where it sounds like it boils down to.
And it probably wouldn't have been if she was a nice.
Right. If the service would have been all right, he would have dealt with the fact that she
and you
me.
Calling me boy.
I get
yeah,
over
it's
that.
Probably some underlying stuff that we don't know.
Like he said,
he knows
we weren't there.
Yeah.
We were not there. At the end of the day, a tip is called gratuity.
Yeah.
If a tip was mandatory, you would put it in the bill.
Yeah.
So whatever his reason, he chose not to tip. It's his choice. Now we can sit here and make judgments based on the fact that he didn't tip. Did he pay his bill?
Yeah.
Okay, so
there's no problem with it. Tip is optional. It's not
optional.
If they want it to be mandatory, like you said, it'd be in the bill.
It'd be in the bill. I mean, I've gotten bills where I don't have a choice to tip because
right.
they're in the bill. Anywhere else, it's up to my discretion if I do it and how much. He was displeased with the service, so he didn't tip. That's why you leave it as an option. How was he wrong?
Was he wrong in the fact that he made
wrong
a comment? No, he could have just left it at that. In itself speaks for itself. I didn't tip you. Your service.
No, not necessarily, because you could have just assumed, like he said, maybe I forgot. Maybe he forgot. Or maybe. But he didn't leave the room for maybe.
To make sure
yeah,
he knew why you
I'm
didn't
not
get
tipping
tip.
You. Exactly.
Boys don't tip.
Boys don't tip. And I'm pretty sure if he just came out and did that, I'm assuming he had to make known that he don't like being referred to as a boy. Now, if you keep doing it after I say, listen, don't talk to me like that.
The person that I've worn out that I've seen, I'm pretty sure he
yes,
did.
That's why
yeah.
I know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure
he let it be known. Look, I like that.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, right or wrong, it was his choice. It was his option, and he chose not to. He opted out. I agree. The ESPN analyst, you're dead wrong. You were not there. Why does it matter whether Warren Sapp tipped on a $78 bill? Why does that matter? Why is that news?
That is news because it's Warren Sapp. That's what makes it news. But I don't really have anything against the reporter. That's his job. His job is to report news. Now, why he considered that news?
That's one question.
Because there ain't nothing else going on right now.
Yeah.
But World Cup and who talking? World Cup is the only thing on. Who's really talking about it? Other than people that have to.
Now, the question of the hour is, how would you boys have responded? I'm saying, boys, how would you boys have responded in the same situation?
With the tip.
If the service is bad,
I ain't tipping.
You may not get a tip, or you may get a very small one. I don't personally think I would have had an issue with being referred to as boy. Now, she would have called me boy, referred to me personally as boy. Then I got an issue. But if she's greeting the table as boy, that's waitress talk.
It is. But if he don't like it, then you can't greet. That's like you saying, what up, dog? It's universal. Some people don't like it.
I got you now. The one, like you said, one said that I think I know would
yeah.
have said, hey, look,
yeah,
I prefer you not refer to me as boy.
He probably said something slick like, ain't no boys over here. Yeah, you know what she's doing, but ain't no boys over here now. I'm telling you,
that could have either went over her head or she said screw it.
I'm inclined to believe number two, because regardless of whether you understand what he's saying or not, you hear the fact that he doesn't like boy. You hear that. So if you're going to keep doing it, then okay, no problem.
And she can't get mad at the fact that
you cannot. You did what you wanted to do, I did what I wanted to do. We even. Let's go.
Makes sense. And the reason for her to put it out there, at some rate, you got to figure she was mad. And why are you mad if you ain't done wrong?
Exactly.
The only issue I have with it is I feel kind of like if she was undermining or degrading her tone, I guess I'd say, I feel personally that he might have stooped to her level by now.
Right.
Give her a big tip and tell her boys don't tip like
this. Yeah.
Right. Boys don't tip like this. Get your mind right.
Yeah. But then she's gaining from it.
It don't. He is too.
It depends on who you are. That probably may have been my approach if I was in his financial.
You want to keep referring to me as a boy. Find another boy that tip you like this.
Yeah, now you understand the difference between boy and man.
I ain't got to say no more.
He's a simplified boy.
So basically what we're saying is he took the low road.
Yeah.
He's a simplified boy.
Should have took the high
road. You fed right into what she wanted you to do.
Right. Which is the reason why she said something, which is the reason why we're talking about it now.
Right.
Exactly. So now that we said all that, I guess we're saying Warren Sapp could have handled that a little bit differently.
I don't think you're wrong, but he could have handled it.
He could have handled it a little different.
Yeah. Not that it may change Warren Sapp's outlook, but I'm putting it out there. Yeah, it's probably great. It's probably great. As always, we like to close out the end of the note with a good topic. I came across this. I had seen this earlier, then I came across it again, which is good. Michelle Howard becomes Navy's first female four-star admiral. The U.S. Navy has promoted Vice Admiral Michelle Howard to admiral, making her the first female four-star officer in the Navy's 236-year history. Howard, who was the first African-American woman to command a Navy ship, will become Vice Chief of Naval Operations. Big up to you, Admiral Howard, for accomplishing what you have accomplished. Is a testament.
So she's Commander and Vice Chief.
She's the Vice Chief of Naval Operations.
Oh, okay.
The entire Navy operates.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about a ship.
No.
She was the first. She was the first. This is prior to becoming an admiral, when she was vice admiral. She was the first African-American woman to command a Navy ship, period.
She done had her own ship.
Yeah.
She's stepping up now.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about the whole Navy.
I want the whole fleet.
Yeah, we're talking about the whole Navy now.
That's big, man.
Yep.
That's huge.
Huge. It's huge.
Congratulations.
Definitely.
And there's only one other four-star general ever in the military, and it was in the Army. She just retired a couple years back. And so she would be the second four-star general in the military. And she's a black. Yeah, but that's why I mean female.
Wow.
What's up?
Yes. You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Literally.
With that, we'll close up.
I want to throw something else out there off of that. Okay, so that was the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, I'm going to lean towards you a little bit more on this one, seeing that you're military. Would you think it'd be easier for her to gain that prestigious of a position in the Navy compared to a different branch of the military?
You know what? Before, if I'd have seen this and she was first, I would have said yeah. But because the first female general came from the Army, they must be honestly just promoting off what you achieved. You know what I mean? Credibility, your actual work, your body of work. Yeah. But before I would have said yeah, I honestly would have thought. Now this is not me throwing no shade or nothing, but I honestly would have thought the Air Force would have been the first. I'm still going to sit here and say I don't see the Marines. It's going to be hard. But it happened.
Okay.
And, you know, let me say this before you say what you got.
I already
know. You know, I think it's cool how
Because I give all branches of the military their respect.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I personally don't down. I try not to downplay one over the other.
Right. Right.
But it's cool how I see people in the military.
Yeah.
How they give shots at each other.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? It's like, oh you're you are.
Because I was
religion.
About to say, like, what you mean?
Yeah.
You throw no shade. That's what you just
but
did.
That's what they do, though. That's what they do, though.
Hey, look, man, this is what it is. Listen, I tell people this all the time. If I had a choice and my children was joining the service, I would tell them the Air Force. And that's because it's more laid back. And it just is. It's more a 9-to-5. It's all of them 9-to-5 when it comes down to it. But the Air Force is really laid back. I ain't going to go into it because I ain't going to do that on Air Force.
Is it because
they put their hands in their pocket.
Yes. Yes. You cannot put your hands in your pocket and be ready to do nothing. Come on, let's be real. Are you going to put your hands in your pocket? Are you ready?
You ready, though?
Yeah. You know, man. They can do it. We could not put our hands in our pockets. And it makes sense, yo.
Oh, man.
I mean, they go to the cafeteria, they get up, they just leave, they trade.
I don't think y'all understand. This is my pet peeve. You hate this. How you going to stand with your hands in your pocket?
Yeah, man.
You ain't ready to go. No, I can't take my hands out of my pocket.
Mm-mm.
I'll be ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, though. So, I'm going to ask you this question. You have to, if the Marine... The military was your career path going back to 97. Which branch would you choose? If forced to choose one.
If forced?
If forced.
It would have to be choice. It has to be choice for me. Don't force me. Even
okay.
I had already said if they brought the draft back, they wanted to fire me.
Okay, so let's take the force.
So let's take the force off. If it was choice, I'll probably go Marine, I think. I think if I'm gonna go all
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I probably would go Marine. Next choice would probably be Army. Just because I feel like that's that first line.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say is if that was the reason why Air Forces looked at the way they are because
they're
in the back. They ain't going to really come in until...
Fly out.
And it's more like either a cleanup or just a...
Operation.
A threat almost,
yeah.
Okay, we're going to fly over here. We ain't going to shoot at you. We're going to fly over here and let you know we're here. You know what I'm saying? We're going to let our ground troops do all the work.
So I'm thinking if you had the opportunity to do it again, you'd do the same thing the first time you choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me personally, I would, if I had to pick one, I'll pick the Marine too. Because they are that. They're prestige.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, you a Marine, you hit.
Right. Exactly. It's like no question. There's no question that.
Now you hearing that for me?
Yeah.
Because I said the Marines probably you never see it because their standard is different.
Right.
It's a totally different standard.
It might sound stupid to y'all. Y'all might laugh at me, but I think I would have joined the Marines. I really do. So I'm about to do.
Yeah.
I think I would. I would like to.
Well, they was on when I was stationed at Fort Polk. Not Fort Polk. I'm sorry. Fort Leavenworth doing my VI basic training. It was a Marine that was training also because they drive trucks too, so they had to go through the same school. We watched them in admiration. The way they did things, I mean, where we fall off some place, because I think it's pretty structured, but we got a little more lax. Man, that thing is like clockwork.
Yeah.
It's like clockwork. And their uniform, oh my.
Hmm.
Oh my, I just got to be real about it. I'm a man. I'm a veteran. I'm all I can be. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes down to it, it's a few. It's a few.
You, the proud.
The Marine.
Now, if I couldn't check the Marine, but if whatever reason the Marines ain't work, I'm going with Air Force.
Go with Air Force.
If I can't get the top, I might as well.
I don't want the middle.
I might as well.
I'm either all in or I'm out and come here because you're forcing me to be.
One thing I do know, and this is from personal experience. The Army, all the military branches, you'll be changed because you go through something. It's a different undertaking. Marines, I done seen make little boys, grown-ass men, that I ain't never seen before. A person I ain't know could have that kind of ability in them because they buy in so hard. But see, that's what it's all
you
about.
Have to,
yeah. You're doing all in, you can't be in.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's how I like you too.
Congratulations to
Admiral Howard.
Her.
Yeah.
Admiral Howard.
I don't remember the name.
Big up. Big up. Big up to all branches of the military.
Yeah,
all branches of the military.
Yeah, we just, you know me.
We talking.
But at the end of the day,
we just running our mouth.
You did something I couldn't find in myself to do.
And I say all the time, I mean, I didn't even realize on the day of January 10th, 1999, when I enlisted, what I was saying, you know, it's a commitment. You commit your life on that day to give to something. And that's a powerful thing. So anybody, any branch of the military, if you ever served, if you're serving presently, or if you have loved ones that serve, it is a privilege to be in their presence because they have said on the Bible and swore that they would uphold your protection with their life.
Oh.
That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. With that, boom, 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 yeah, we finna move on into the show. I'm excited because love is one of my favorite topics. I mean, I'm infatuated with love if that's possible. If I can have love poured on me, poured all over me. If it was a pool, I would jump in 12 feet. It can't swim. I am crazy about love. I really am, man.
So what makes you so crazy about love?
To me, love equals God. The sum of love is God. I mean, it's everything I need, everything I want, everything I can't get that I'm going to have. It's everything that you don't even see. It's love, man. Love. Love. I'm going in the show already. Let me give you the title. Let me give you the title of the show. Today's show is Love, the Apotheosis of All. Now, the apotheosis basically is the climax or the exalting of all in it.
Now, how do you pronounce this word?
Yeah.
Apotheosis?
You say it that way? When I looked at it, it seemed like it sounded out as apotheosis.
Okay, cool.
But I'm not
it
sure.
It is what it is.
Right. You probably can pronounce it both ways and be correct. Kind of like epitome. And the epitome and the epitome.
I'm going to let y'all handle it. I'm not going to even attempt. Real quick, y'all want to throw out this number, 718-664-9983. Again, that is 718-664-9983. Call in, comment, ask questions. Check us.
Yeah, chat with us.
Just listen. Now, if you happen to be calling and just listen, you don't want to press 1 because we will bring you on.
Yeah, we bring you on the air. You live.
All right, let's go.
Let's go with that. The physicist of all, which is the exalting of everything. It is a complete, every complete thing you can think of, love. And moving into the topic, the title of the show, the first topic is our understanding of love. I gave a little brief segue in the mind, but
go ahead, you have it. This is your baby. Have it.
Man, how do you? It's hard to explain something that you can't. It's just the beauty in it. It's the beauty in love. It's so hard to explain love because I can tell you something that fabricates it, but it'll never be the significance of what it is. You know what I mean? But for me, at the end of the day, love is God. And I get that understanding through my spiritual connection with him because everything I encompass through him just comforts. To me, that's the epitome of love, to comfort, to be there when I need it, when I don't need it. When I'm trying to push it away, it still remains. Love will take care of you when you can't take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is God, to me, in the same aspect. Because these are the things I've learned through my life trials, my tribulations, and my heartache. That when I didn't understand love, love understood me. And that's what saved me and kept me going and motivated me. If it wasn't for love, why would you be here? What is it that we want in our life more than anything? Love. We want to give love and we want to be able to accept. We want to give it so bad because we know the feeling it gives. So you want to be a part of love. You want, there's nowhere in your mind you can get yourself to say, I'm sick of love. You might be mad and say, man, love ain't no good. But you're going to run back to it because love ain't going nowhere. It's what got you saying it ain't no good because it ain't going along with you. It's stubborn. I mean, a good adjective is love. Be stubborn.
Love. Love. We struggle to define love or give an accurate description of love because it's complex. But something that is complex as love is easy to obtain or do. Is it? I feel like it is. It's easy. It's easy to love someone while it takes energy
to hate them.
To hate them or dislike them. It takes more out of you to put forth that effort of not liking somebody, to avoid them and waste your time talking about them. You know what I'm saying? That takes too much energy. You love somebody. You love everybody. And it's easy. It makes life easy.
I disagree with you on the simple fact that love, in its purest form, is sometimes very difficult to do. And it's difficult because we are including who have a hateful nature. You know what I mean? Like, people have a tendency to be very selfish in nature. Selfishness and love can't be in the same place. It can't. Like, you can call it a couple different other names. It may resemble love, but you can't love somebody and have a selfish intent, motive, whatever. I asked this question last week when we were talking about the LGBT show. Is what do you do when love don't love you back? And this is what brings me to the point where I say it's difficult, because love will tell you when everything else and everybody around you says go, love will say stay. Everything and everybody else in the situation dictates that you should give up. Love says no.
So what makes that difficult?
Because my nature, the nature of me, removing everybody else, the nature of me says I should be concerned with me. But if I'm concerned with me, I can never love. Purely.
So loving part, from what I'm getting from it, the loving part is easy. What makes it difficult is when you struggle with the resistance to love. It's the resistance for whatever reason, because you're putting in people, or you're putting in yourself as thoughts, or you're putting in whatever. That's what makes it difficult. If you would just drop that, the love part is easy.
Okay, just dropping that is figuring out life. You know what I mean? All of that is life. Think about your day on a daily basis. 90% of what you come in contact with is probably going to come from an opposing force. It's going to come from a place of opposition. How do I then just naturally respond with love? I mean, you can do it. I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm saying that it takes effort.
I'm going to put it from a personal experience. All right. You spoke on the last show we had at the LBGT with our special guest, Trina Five-Foot Giant Ross, who I saw today next door at my neighbor house. she said, you love the hell up out. I literally have taken that, that statement that she made in that show, and I have inputted it in me, and I use it on a daily basis. And, at the job, basically, all right? I deal with a lot. You deal with stressful situations. You deal with stressful people, difficult people, and loving the hell up out of them, they can come at you with the most negative attitude you have ever encountered. If you just produce love and shoot back love at them, they can come at you as negative as they want. They're going to leave from you with a little bit of positivity, just a little bit.
Homeboy, I'm going to say this from my understanding. I get why you're saying that love is easy, but what you have to understand is most of the general public first don't even have the understanding of what true love is. We keep saying love is God. We try to put our interpretation on love and when you look at it that way, nobody's going to have the same idea of what love is. You say hate. I'm of the opinion that hate is only misguided love. It's love that I don't know what to do with. It's love that... I'm trying to say this the right way. A person who don't have, who doesn't have any type of what's the word? I don't want to say love, but the a good
action,
a good basis of feelings towards you will not put the time and effort into degrading you.
Yeah.
They won't. I don't care what you're doing. If you don't matter enough to me for me to waste my effort on that. So when you receive hate from people, or when you get that opposition, or when you get, it's up to you to understand that, okay, all that comes from is you don't know how to get what you really want from me. Or you don't know how to, it's something that you don't know, there's a barrier in there, and the only thing you know how to do is show negativity. You're showing it in a negative light. I don't think people who don't care about you, who don't have no type of emotion for you whatsoever, I don't think they hate you. Why? What am I hating you for? I don't know you.
Good point. And I see both of you guys' point, because what I see Bone saying is exactly what you're saying, of course. It comes back to the fact that, like, for 16 years, I didn't understand love at all.
Mm-hmm.
But love understood me enough to carry me through them 16 years. Once love introduced itself to me and I seen what it was for myself, it ain't hard now to love.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand it to be able to know for it to be easy. Because I fought love. I fought love. That's why I say love is struggle. For 16 years, I fought love so hard, it couldn't do nothing but sit there and take care of me. I wasn't getting the joy and the fulfillment out of love because I wasn't loving. I didn't understand what love job was.
And that's my whole point.
That's the difficulty in love.
Even if it's not you that don't understand, you're dealing with an opposing force.
Right.
It could be them. And then because they don't understand what love is. Exactly.
Yeah.
It could be either party. But if both don't have a general idea and an understanding, an agreeable understanding of what love is, it's always going to be conflict. Love is always going to be taken as something else.
And that's okay. From the standpoint I'm at where I understand
from
love.
From you, because you understand.
Right. So I'm still going to love the hell out of you. I'm still going to continue to try to do what I can do to help you because I was dealt with.
Now, you say 16 years. I don't think I came into the understanding. And I'm still learning. No. Make no qualms or mistakes about it. I'm still learning. But to have an understanding and a grasp of what love is, it's probably been in the last 2 years of my life. What unconditional real love is. Before that, what love may have been or what love may have been shown, I could have taken it as anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was lost in he had me.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Yeah.
You couple life situations with misguided information with money, you got a hell of a mess, man.
Yeah, you do. You do. And see, the thing is, like, for me, and I understand totally where you're going with that, because what messed me up with love for them 16 years was the world. Once I got into the world, I lost the understanding of love.
Yeah.
When I was in Robonia and I was surrounded by friends and family, not saying that I didn't go out into the world and didn't have friends. I'm just saying the world is a different matrix to where I grew up. It's a whole different matrix to where we grew up. And that I understood love inside my community. I knew love. So much so that I go back to my community today looking for that same love because that's what was there when we grew up. Now, when we ventured off into Lincoln, I always say this is my middle school year because that's for me, that was the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Robonia was my center, and then we went from there to the world. Once we went to Palmetto, and that's not big.
That's the world.
But that was the world for us. Once we went over there, things changed. All that what we knew, we left. It was still there, but it started getting convoluted. Once it became convoluted, it took me 16 years to come back.
Because you start getting other people's ideas of what love is.
Yeah.
And then it conflicts with what you've been showing all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Where, look, going back to those days, you didn't have a contrary opinion.
Mm-hmm.
All you knew was that.
That's it.
That's all you knew.
What did it do?
That was it.
Ooh.
Everywhere you went, every house you went into, every day you came home, that's what you came home to.
No matter how it was presented, it could have been a chastisement. It could have been somebody telling you not to do something. You knew it was love.
Yeah, you could have fought somebody.
Yeah, and it was love.
It was all out of love.
It was. That's how we was able to fight.
And then
put your right
10 minutes later. It ain't gotta be the last day.
You're right.
Now, depending on how bad the fight is, we might not talk for the rest of the day. But yes, it was all love. So when you step outside of that, and like I say, you start getting other people's opinions and ideas of what love is, and you start comparing them to what you've seen, some of it can make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to fall into someone else's belief of what love is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I think once you go into the world, it's not so much falling into someone else's idea of love or definition of love. It's more so
go ahead, Bo.
It's more so people start to make you believe that love, having love for other people, or loving, period,
mm-hmm.
is a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's looked down upon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't love them hoes. You don't love them, N-word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Any type of love is looked down upon.
Man, it came to a point of don't love nobody.
Nobody.
Don't trust nobody. Don't love nobody. All you got is God.
And don't trust yourself too far.
Now, how stupid is that? All you got is God.
If you're lucky, you get in that part. All you have is God.
True.
Some of them not even getting that.
True.
All they getting is don't love.
Don't love. Love will hurt you.
Yeah.
And it will.
It will.
That is the honest to God truth. If you love and you love genuinely, it will hurt at some point.
That's what makes love so powerful.
Exactly.
That's what makes it so powerful is that love that can make you feel like you're on top of the world is the same love that can break you down and have you in tears on your knees. That's what God wants.
Yeah.
That same love.
That's why there's a picture of all things, because at the end of the day, love is in it some kind of way. It is. Even when, like I always say, my struggle set me up for where I'm at today, and it's going to continue to push me to my further progression. And I believe that with understanding that, I have to understand love has always been protected. It has to. Why am I struggling? Because love wanted me to struggle again.
Yep. This is not something.
Yeah.
Now, love is not easy.
No.
Love is not something that just happens. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. And
if it did, would you want it?
It wouldn't last.
It wouldn't be worth it.
It'd be just what we see other people call love right now. I love you, but. I love you, don't follow. A but don't follow I love you.
Mean, no.
There's a period after that. Whatever. You might do all you can, Eric, but at the end of the day, if I'm about love, that's cool. I understand. I love you. That's where it becomes difficult. Who's that? Because, again, society and our brains have been shaped over the years to subconsciously fend for self.
But you can fix that. You can change
that.
You can change that.
You don't have to
be stuck in that mindset. And it takes effort. It will not be easy. The easiest part is the love. But being able to show people that do not show you anything or show you everything, but that's the hard part. But it's possible. I'm trying to tell you, it's possible.
I'm not saying that it's not possible.
Trying to tell you.
I asked you, how do you attain it?
Me?
No, I'm just saying.
I can't explain for everybody, but let me explain how I came upon it.
There you go.
All right. First, I learned to love God. I didn't find God.
Mm-hmm.
I knew God was already there. I accepted his love for me. And I gave it back to him because he deserved it.
You can stop right there as far as I'm concerned. That's all I wanted you to say. Because apart from that, it's impossible. With
you're
that,
right.
You don't got to do nothing else.
You don't. And I guess That's why I'm sitting here. I want to make it say that it's easy. But that part.
That's the part. That's the part that most people are missing. That's the part that took Corey 32 years to understand.
Like, if you,
you can't do this.
Yeah. If you love God, there's no way you can love everything else. So that's going to, in turn, give love back to you.
Exactly.
Everything you give love back to you. It may hurt sometimes, but it's joyous when it's joy.
Man, listen,
and you will take the hurt.
It is it's only one, you know, I can almost sit here and say there's several different kinds of love. I think we already said that. Several different kinds of love. The love that you have for your God is different from any love that anything else. The love of your mother, the love of your children, the love of your wife, the love of your family members, friends, it is completely different from any other kind of love. Because it's unwavering. It should be.
The love that you have for him or the love that he has for you?
Well, I feel like it's a two-way street.
Yeah, but we can't. I can't. I'm going to talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't love him the way he loves me. I say that prayer all the time. I apologize for not being able to love you the way you love me. Because sometimes I get mad at you. Sometimes I don't talk to you. Sometimes I act like you don't exist and I know you do. But you never do me that way.
You don't assume sometimes he don't get mad at you?
He don't never stop loving. In my anger.
Do you stop loving
him
when you get mad?
Do you stop loving him? That's the only way I'm going to say you right in that case that you can't love like him. If there's a limit to your love for him, then yeah, you're right. You'll never be able to do that. But if your love is just as unwavering as his love is for you, you know that he's going to love you regardless of your mistakes.
Absolutely.
You can't love him just as much knowing that he is going to overlook your mistakes and still love you?
The difference being, I'm trying to be as real as I could possibly be right here.
No,
I'm human. And I understand that I'm human, and sometimes my emotions take over what I already know to be the right thing to do or what's right in my mind, in my intellect. But I guess when you ask the question that way, do I ever stop loving God? No, I can't say that I ever stop loving him. I can say that sometimes I don't show it. Sometimes if you didn't know it, like if you weren't in my mind, you might think I don't.
You know what it comes down to, though? I think more than anything else, God's love for us is on a level we can never get because we'll never be God.
Exactly.
But
that's
he knows us. He's made us. So
he understands.
He understands. We love him at the point a human can love him
right.
to.
That's why
he gave us the power to love him.
I think it's necessary to keep repeating that God knows your heart. You can say whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But in your heart can't lie.
No.
It's impossible for your heart to lie to you. Your brain can tell you a lie. Your body can tell you a lie. Everything else about you can lie. Your heart don't lie.
Well, a thug love saying that, don't God know my heart?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the truth.
But it's the truth, though.
It's the truth. Even if he don't understand
right.
what he's saying,
yeah.
it's the truth.
I'm inclined to believe that he do if he's saying it.
If he's saying it. Me
yeah.
too.
If you saying that God know your heart, I think you know what you're talking about.
You know what? And that's funny, too, because it's always times I say, and this is back and forth. I got a lot of the understanding I may have today, and I'm trying to gradually get there. I'm not saying I'm where I'm better off than anyone else, but I'm saying when I was at one of my lowest peaks, I can remember saying things.
Mm-hmm.
That in the moment, I was saying more for a laugh or just for everybody to feel like I got it. Didn't mean it or didn't really get where I was coming from, and now I can look back on it and be like, I already knew what I was doing.
Yeah, your brain didn't understand that.
Yeah.
But your heart
that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Your heart came like
yeah.
that. You spoke from your heart.
Yeah.
You ain't understand what you were saying, but what I said, I meant.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't have said it.
So true, man. It's so true. The dynamic of love, man, it's just, I can sit here all day and talk about it.
But it's necessary. And it's necessary because, again, general. I don't want to say the general public. Corey is not any different than anybody else. And I don't understand much more than what somebody else may or may not understand. All I understand is what I understand. That being, and I want to say this because it sounds like I'm kind of putting, like, a bottom line on the conversation, but once you establish and understand, like coming to a real understanding how real God is and that he's there all the time. Situations are going to happen. People are going to be who they're going to be. I said it in a post yesterday, the day before that, something like that. Like, everybody will be used. It's just a matter of choosing who's going to use you. And until you come into the understanding that, number one, God is real, and number two, Satan is real, too. Like, he's not just waiting for you under the ground.
Yeah.
That's not who this guy is. The guy's intent every day, every moment that you live, every second that you breathe is to destroy you. He's real, and it is real. Once you understand those two, what else matters? What else should I be concerned with? Okay, you're talking about me, so what?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to act crazy over there because you think, because you know that I'm trying to be this way, and you're trying to, I mean, people are trying to pull you back into something that you say you ain't going to, okay. Once I understand that, you do what you got to do. I'm not bending, though. I'm not bending. It took too long to get here.
That solidifies love for me because that's struggle. And that's why I keep going back to this point because I want it to be known from my standpoint. Love encompasses scrub.
Yes.
It ain't no love you gonna have that's worth a dime
that
you ain't went through nothing.
Hey, it ain't, love comes with a test.
It does, and that's the beauty of it. But love that test. Love the hell out that test. Love it. And see how beautiful the test turned out.
Yeah.
What's your worst moment? I said this previously on something I was doing. But I said, there's nothing. I have everything. So how can I be losing in my worst moment? If there's nothing completely around me, I have everything because I'm breathing. I'm able to conceptualize God loves me in a moment where there's nothing.
That's everything. As simple as it may sound.
It's everything.
If you walk this earth by yourself, know that you never walk in this earth by yourself.
Yeah.
You're not.
What is it to fear? What is it to fear? All of this resonates with love. The simple word love.
Love is because love is so powerful. I talk about, we call him Buddy, we talk about that dude, that guy, Satan. We talk about him. But we don't talk about him like we talk about him outside of this microphone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy is very crafty. He's a very, very, very crafty individual. So much so to, I know me personally, he was using me and making me believe the whole time that I was full of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm destroying everything I come into contact with through quote-unquote love. Why? Because I'm listening to you. And everything you're saying makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Everything you're saying makes total sense. It ain't from a standpoint of you doing anything maliciously. No, we just gonna maneuver this way. We just gonna do it this way so that it work out best for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's selfishness.
Love yourself.
That's selfishness. When you focused on self, I'm sorry, but it ain't love. You can't consider that love. Love
and,
ain't no way.
And some people may be like, well, how can I focus on love if I don't focus on myself? Some people may have that question.
Well, ask the question again. How can I
even conceptualize love if I don't put myself in? You know, you gotta love yourself before you can love anybody else. You know, people say that.
Who said that?
Like people.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I mean, you know, people say a lot of things, but
I'm gonna kind of believe that's true of my own life experiences. I didn't love myself for a long time. I thought I did. He told me, Buddy told me I was loving myself, but the way I was loving myself wasn't the way God wanted me to love.
In loving yourself, you realize that it ain't about you.
Right, and that's the thing.
That's the point.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, by loving God, everything else—that's
loving myself.
That's what I'm saying. Everything else
falls under that.
You got to love God first, and then yourself fall under that. The people around you, the people you can't love, you thought you couldn't love, or the people you thought you was loving that you really weren't—all that stuff becomes apparent to you once you give God that love.
Oh boy, that's why I said. You can stop at understanding and loving God. I ain't even got to worry about me no more.
That's it.
I don't have to worry about loving myself. I love him.
That's it.
And if I start worrying about loving people, and then I'm going to worry about, well, why am I loving you? Then I'm going to see the things you do that makes me not, that in my mind, why I shouldn't love mm-hmm. you. So now as a couple, I don't got time for all that. Listen, I love that. I can say that now and don't care who hear me. I can say that now and not feel any type of way within myself. I don't feel no conflict, no struggle. I don't care what nobody thinks. I don't care how many people disagree. I can care less. I'm happy to believe if you can sit down and have a conversation with him and ask that question, he'll tell you yeah. Now, I ain't apt to believe. I know that. Why? Because he knows. So, at the end of the day, that's all I'm concerned with. That's it. I know I have responsibilities outside of that. I know there are things that I need to do outside of that. All I can do is what I can do. That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to be concerned with.
So, when you ask the question, you know, how can you love everybody? You know, how can you show everybody love? And stuff, you already got the answer.
Yeah.
That you have a quiet. Attain the ability to show it or do it, but you have the answer.
I ask that question for conversation. I ask that question for us to discuss it because at the end of the day, people, I was one of them, and still may tend to fall into that sometimes. I never know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow. But even in loving God, I'm still a human and I can fall into human flaws. I will fall into human flaws. And one of the human flaws is saying I love God but hating another man or disliking another man or whatever, lashing back because they lashed out at you or falling to their level, Warren Sapp. We human.
Mm-hmm.
And in the smallest little minute ways, it can have the largest impact.
I'm not gonna give us that out by saying we human because in the end, it's a choice.
Okay.
You choose to not love somebody because of how they treat you. You choose to take that low road, as we said earlier. Those are choices that you make.
Great. Again, that's why I asked the question for us.
But you know what? No, too, and that's a good point. I think more than anything, God gave us those choices to build.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if he wanted us to be just like him, he would have made us perfect. The only way for us to get there is trial and error.
Mistake.
And with that, them choices have to be made, and they have to be presented. So in that love, you have to find love in those choices. And
you will fall. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just sorry to say it like this, but you will fall. There will come times in your plight to love everybody where you will fail.
Yeah.
There are people and there are forces that take control of people that will get the best of you at times. But the key is recognizing that just because I fail, that don't mean that's who I am.
I ain't getting them the credit.
No.
I ain't getting people the credit. I let whatever happened to me myself. In a situation I am in, I'm responsible for the outcome. I don't give a damn how it goes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that, but I don't. However it plays out, if I'm in it, I'm responsible because I know now what love is.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm in it and it's going wrong and I act a certain way, I'm accountable for that. It ain't you. It ain't what was in you and what you told me. It was me. I know that. Now, I could have helped you.
You could have. I get where you're going. But I'm not going to say that I'm responsible for that. I will say I have accountability in it. But even in loving, it may still turn out to where it's not beneficial for me or it don't work out in my favor.
But
whatever the case may be.
I take that outcome over
you have
the
to.
Other.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
Because I can walk away from it feeling that. I encountered a situation recently where I did something that's been bothering me for the last couple of days because I didn't handle it in the manner that I know I should have handled it. And it stuck with me in the moment I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what you're saying. That human nature in me had took over. And you can't take that back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what bothers me more than anything. And I say this all the time. My biggest fear is disappointing God. I know I disappointed God in that moment. And it bothers me. See, now my understanding is I just want to love God and I don't want to disappoint him. So I'm in between two things. I'm either going to do one or the other. When I do the wrong one, it bothers me. When I do the right one, I'm good. But I have to understand that's the struggle of loving. That's where I'm getting better at.
Who taught you that? Did anybody teach you that?
No. That wasn't taught. It came through the understanding of God's love for me. That's the simple way it came through.
I'm going to look at it. Well, I tend to look at that a little bit different. Even if I realize I made the wrong decision, I'm still okay with it. Because at the end of the day, I realized something. So I learned something. it was an understanding. It was a moment for me to gain more understanding of our life. I don't ever want to get to the point where it's like, okay, you don't ever have to reflect on your decisions. Because
mm-hmm.
then at that point, you stop growing.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
I get it.
Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is there is no perfect, according to me, from my understanding, there is no perfect solution. There is, well, we'll take that back. There is a perfect solution.
God.
And it's the name that we've been calling this whole show. But understanding that means that it may not look like I want it to look sometimes.
Yeah.
It may look better than I thought it would. At the end of the day, just be okay with whatever it is if you're doing it from a genuine place.
Yeah, and that's what I understand what you're saying, because I know I put it out there that way. But I do mean it to this standpoint. Just like I want to love the hell up out of somebody else, I want to impact it more on myself.
Yeah.
So me taking that in makes me understand. Now, you can bet your bottom dollar, if I'm ever encountered with that situation again, I'm ready. Now, I might have never been ready before because I didn't have that situation happen. And that's why I say when love sets you up for the win every time. And just like you're saying, T, at the end of the day, I got to take everything that happens because of in love. From a standpoint, well, this is good for me.
Got to.
And then what can beat you?
Nothing. Not a thing.
You win. If we're playing a game, you win. But it's not a game for me. It's life. And sometimes you can say life is a game. But you know what I see it as? I see life as a dress rehearsal. And I say this all the time. I am practicing. But my homeboy pointed something out to me. The game is in heaven. I ain't got that yet. So, yeah, you can say life's a game. I'm glad you're playing him. Because I'm getting ready to play over there.
But I'm anxious. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, y'all.
I'm anxious to take love and, at least that's why I think we're going with
mm-hmm.
this, bring it more into a practical sense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Bringing it down a level from basically the love of God and all that
true.
Kind of that to a earthly level or
right.
a realistic level, I guess you could say. And maybe that's a bad choice of words. But an earthly level. And I guess mainly what I'm anxious to get on is the impact of love and the effects of love, I'm going to say it, within the African community, African American or black community,
mm-hmm.
but also on a broader scale, you know, not just the black community.
Mm-hmm.
And more so, why it's so hard for black men to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Whew.
Well,
this tiger got pretty much birthed from this conversation.
Yeah, it did. In my opinion, this is Corey again, my opinion, it is simply because of two things. Number one, misguided information.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be just that. I was thinking of number two, but number two kind of ties into that. You think about it, though, like everything that you become because of what you've experienced
yeah.
and what you've been taught. And if we go back to the very beginning, we were taught from a corrupted source. I hate to say it that way, but it's the absolute truth. So how can I understand love? How can I understand what that is and all of that when I don't have I know you said let's bring this practical, but I can't. Like, I can't separate love and God when I don't have a genuine understanding of who God is.
I get it.
I don't think it's possible.
That's true. That's so true. I'll mess up where I'm going with this. Go ahead, bro.
Where I think the issue comes up is when trying to keep it on a practical sense, even though it's difficult. When we,
Pass down,
yeah, or inherit
traits
and misguided truths and things like that of what love is and how you present it and how you express it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. speaking from a personal sense, in my household, we didn't, the word love didn't get thrown around a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? We touched, you know, kissing and stuff like that, signs of affection. I didn't really get a whole lot of that.
No.
In the household.
No.
You know what I mean? So for me, as I got older and became an adult, trying to figure out how to express love verbally and physically was difficult for me. Because where I came from, it was, you didn't have to say it. It was known.
You know by what I do.
By what I do for you.
Right.
So even within my marriage, I struggle with that because why do I have to say I love you all the time? You know what I'm saying? I know why I should, but it was difficult for me because how I was raised and how I grew up, I didn't have to say it. It wasn't said to me, so I didn't really feel the need to have to say it back. It is known. It's an unspoken truth.
Okay.
And I think,
sadly, I'm apt to believe that the majority of African American men in between the age of, I would say, 25 to maybe on up would have the same opinion you have. Because we didn't have the majority of us. Now, there are those exceptions, but we didn't have the affection from, most importantly, our fathers in the house. Now, mama could do it all day. Mine didn't, but I'm saying, even if she did, I would just assume that's what women do. But that ain't nothing to me. I know he loved me. How I know that? I don't know, because he ain't never said it. We don't hug, we don't do that kind of stuff, but I just know that he loved me. Why? Because it goes back to what you do. Now, I had that same opinion, and sometimes I still do.
Mm-hmm.
But I had asked myself, and I didn't ask myself, the question came to me, okay, if this is how you show love, what if you lost your job? What if you didn't have the means to provide or you didn't have the means to do? How would a person know that you love them? If you can no longer do, now where is the love?
Right. What action?
What action can you provide now?
Makes sense. And I'm hearing the same thing, quite similar to my own situation. From you guys, basically, for me, growing up, it was shared. Love was shared and seen and hugged and kissed and you said, I love you sparingly amongst the family. But in my immediate household, my mom would say it a lot. My dad said it after I got older. But as a child, I didn't get it a lot. So as a parent myself, I realized I'm not giving it to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I missed it. I miss it now, not having it as a kid.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard for me. That's why I understand what y'all are saying. It's hard for me now to break that mold for myself. Even what makes it easier now, and this is the bone point, once I found my love through God, now I understand it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, see, me, we had this conversation the other day. I have no problem kissing my daughter or my son when they're 20, 30 years old. Why shouldn't I? Give me a reason why I shouldn't kiss my son and daughter at 20 and 30. Because somebody said they too old? No, I still love them the same way at 20 and 30. I love them when they was born at the hospital. That love for your child never changes. Let them know you love them.
Yeah.
Every time I see my mama, I kiss her on greeting her, and I kiss her on leaving. And I might kiss her in between if we just chill. Because I want her to know I love her. And in return, she's not open to giving it to me. It wasn't that she didn't want to. It wasn't that she didn't feel the need to. It was more that she didn't know how to.
Yeah.
Because she never got it. It didn't just start there. It started all above. You know what I'm saying? And that's the dynamic that's killing love in our community.
Yeah.
Because it starts in the house. It starts in the house. If I kiss my son every day before he go to school, one thing he going to know before he go to school, daddy come to kiss me. Now, if I don't and I stop, he going to listen. As much as he may not like it. Even if he say to me, I'm glad you'll come in the morning and kiss me, it means he missed it.
Knows.
Yeah, that's what it means, you know what I'm saying? And it's the small things like that. Like, I can remember my mama cooked me a grilled cheese every day, all the way up until the 12th grade, until I graduated from high school, before I went to school. She may never said I love you every morning, but she cooked that. That told me she loved me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I got a couple of them.
They told me every day, stuff like that. You were reminded of that. That's why today I kiss her on green. That's why I kiss her before I leave. And I kiss her in between. Because of what you gave me, the simple grilled cheese showed me the love that I needed to take me through that day. So now if I can do that in my church, I'm going to do it every day I'm living to see them. It's day 40. And I'm 66. That's where I'm going to be 66. I'll be like 70, 69, 70. If I'm that age, I'm going to kiss them. And I'm kissing them on the mouth.
Because that was a real conversation.
I'm kissing them on the mouth. I forgot about that part. Because I'm just thinking where I'm at. But I'm kissing them on the mouth. I don't see a problem kissing the kids.
Well, hey, 62 years old. Now, I can't say that you're wrong. I can't say that I disagree with you. I can't say none of that. But I don't. I'll kiss him on the mouth. I do make it a point. Again, I can't even say anything. I realized at one point in life, like if somebody said to me, I love you, if they said those words to me, I'm looking at you like, why? Why are you saying that to me?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? What do you want? Because that's not natural to me. That's not normal to me. You love me, show it. You ain't got to tell me.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Like, I don't feel I should have to tell you that for you to know that. And if you don't know that, then something I'm doing.
Something
wrong with you.
No,
I know. I ain't saying it that way.
I'm saying it that way.
Something that I'm doing is not right. I ain't getting across to you because you got to question the fact whether I love you or not.
Which ultimately means something wrong with you.
For me, I would, the person I used to be, I would seriously, I'm dead serious, like you, Dad, I would question them. Why? Well, don't see that I love you? Then what you looking for the wrong thing then? That's how I would look at it. If I have to tell you I love you, then what I'm doing to show that I love you don't mean nothing. And I would question them. I would not even, I would point at them before I point at myself. And that's something wrong with that. I should do like you say, and I should question myself first. What am I not doing?
I do the same thing. That's why I'm sitting there saying,
what am I not doing to show you or express my love for you? Because I feel like I am, but I obviously I'm not. So what am I not doing?
Now, bring me to this question. In asking that question, you just ask yourself, what am I not doing? What if it comes down to, okay, I'm doing everything I know how to do, but this person just does not understand what love is. They have their idea of what love is, but their idea don't line up with my idea. Do I now cut ties with this person because we don't agree on love? Or do I find some way to find common ground? I mean, it's been years. We've been doing this for years, and you still feel like I don't love you? Like, really? Now, where do we go from here?
You know, I'm thinking about that, and I don't want to answer it too swiftly, but the first thing that came to my mind is at some point, you have to take what God tells you. And that might not be the person for you, because if you understand love with God for yourself, and you giving them that love, and you don't get it back in return, that ain't who you're supposed to be with. Because they ain't lined up with that ultimate. You jump the broom, and it's three chords in that whole thing. Once that cord comes undone, it's easily broken, as cliche the movie, it's easily broken. Once that one cord comes undone.
Wait, I'm sorry, before you keep going, are we talking about marriage now? Because I was just talking in general, but if you're talking about marriage, I just want to understand we're talking about specifically marriage.
Yeah, I'm talking about marriage.
Cool.
In this standpoint, yeah. I'm glad you clarified that. But when you leave that, but you know what? From the analogy I'm giving, I'm talking about marriage, well, we can take this into a relationship, because you can be in a relationship and still have God as connection. For both parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
But if just one party has a connection and the other person at some point you can't love the hell up out of them, it ain't for you to do.
Well, who puts a time limit on loving the hell up out of them?
Nobody.
So then when does it, I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, when does that some point come? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know what? And I'm going to answer this the only honest way I can. And I say this because I've been there. You have to pray for it for yourself to understand. Ooh. God has to give you the direction. Nobody else can give you that answer. Because we can be in situations and I can give you advice on something, but you may not be where I'm at and you understand. So with that, it gets to the point where what God gives you to understand that you need to be okay, that's all that matters. What I'm okay with, you may not be okay with.
Because yeah. I could be wrong, but I don't think God would tell me to give up on anybody. I don't think the time or point, if I'm honestly seeking God.
If he puts you with him, nine times.
Well, they're here for a reason.
Yeah. But that reason will always have to be with them.
Well, then they walk away.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point.
Me.
That's a great point. Then you will let the hell out.
Yes. You accept this or you go ahead on.
Yeah,
but
right.
This is not changing. Now that I understand what this is, no, this ain't going to work.
And you know, when you look at that, especially from the analogy I gave of the marriage part, that's why in my heart and mind, and this is what I've seen growing up too, but I always conceptualize this. If I ever got married, that was it.
Yes.
I'm not doing this again, and I'm doing this for life. This is the last, it's the first, it's the last, it's it, it's all. And I don't see no outside of that. You know what I'm saying? That's why I think love is so structured for us to win. Because even in marriages, this is the same point I'm going to make towards the kids. We love our wives and significant others so hard. We would get downright mad, cuss them out, leave, do the worst thing you ever think to them because we love them so much. And that's where that hate and love play the same line where you said it's misguided.
Yeah.
So much. We have no problem kissing them on the mouth. Why we gonna kiss our kids? You know I'm coming back to it.
But I don't do the same thing with my kids that I do with this other person.
It's love, nah.
I'm gonna love them.
No, man, we talking about the pure love.
Yes, the pure love, purest form, love. All day, I get it, I got you.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Go ahead.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Don't get mad if I get the wrong answer.
I know, man. There ain't no wrong answer. You know what this is. This is an open form. We do what we do. Put you on the spot. I'm inclined to believe. As pure as your love is, do you think it's a differentiation between your love for your kids as it is to other beings or other people?
Ooh. Do I think, let me make sure I understand the question before I answer it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I love my kids differently than I love everybody else? Is that what you're saying? If I'm going to answer you honestly, I'm going to say yes.
Mm-hmm. And I assume you would go that way.
I would die without questioning for my kids.
Okay.
Twisted as this may sound, I would kill without question for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I would. God forgive me if I'm wrong, but this moment right now, my understanding, yes, I would. Without thought, without whatever, if it came down to it, I'd die and I'd kill for my kids. I can't say that about many other relationships that I might have. And I may feel like I love you enough to take a whole bunch from you.
I get it.
Now, I could be wrong. I mean, put in the situation, I don't know what I'd do.
Right.
Then my love will show, but I get where you're going, so what the rest of
you
want?
Well, see, what I'm setting you up for with this one is this. If that's the love you have for them,
mm-hmm.
and that's as pure as one, you won't kiss them, but you will kiss someone you won't care for, someone you won't put your life on the line. But you express your purest form of love for your children. Why not kiss? Who cares what anybody else thinks? That you kissing your child in the mouth. You know that you kissing them because I love you above anything else in this world. So why does it matter that dude over there thinking like, oh, he go with his kid? Who gives a shit?
Here we go. You got live, man. I don't think so much it's about what anybody else thinks. It's more so, for me, I don't want them to get, I'm trying to justify this, and I
can't.
That's the bottom line. I can't really justify.
It's embedded in us. That's what we've been taught. That's what we've seen. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't get off me, boy. Don't be all up on me like that.
No,
get off your mama like that. Get off your mama like that. You don't
need
to be all up
on me. I'm guilty.
That's what I'm saying, but this is how we was taught. And it transcends to the point where I caught myself doing the same thing with my kids. And then I question myself, like I asked you, T. The same question I'm posing to you now, I question myself and couldn't answer.
Yeah, I don't have a justification.
And if I can't answer it, I shouldn't be doing it, probably. Because that's God telling me. I done told you what to do.
I'll hold her hand, let her sleep in the bed with me. All of that, which some people may say, well, she's too old to be so like, I don't care, it's my baby.
See what I'm saying?
She could be 35 and she want to come get in the bed with me, she going to get in the bed, and whoever on the other side got it, accept that.
Imagine how you change the outlook for her brothers when they see daddy don't care what nobody thinks. He kiss her in the mouth, they start kissing their sister in the mouth. And everybody knows it's genuine love. Now when you see them at 60, 70 years old kissing each other in the mouth, you look at it and you sit back and say, wow.
I guess my question is, what's the difference in kissing on the mouth and kissing on cheek? It's all love.
Because it's a taboo to kiss on the mouth. That's what I'm pointing out. Because somebody said I shouldn't. That's the only reason I'm pointing out.
I think in my that kiss in the mouth is for that someone that you would love differently than the way you love that. That kiss in the mouth, you save, just like with everything else, you save for that person. You don't give that to anybody else, including me.
You can't get nobody nothing you won't get that.
Yes, you can. Because that is not for the
person. Not when it comes, to the pureness of love.
Listen to what I'm saying.
For me now.
If I'm teaching my daughter and my sons, save yourself for that special someone. There are certain parts of you that you give to nobody else but that person that you are going to be with. You're going to love that. That's how you save that part of love for them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else get that.
Mm-hmm.
That includes that kiss on the mouth for me. I guess at the end of the day, I didn't understand that until I just thought about it or until you just said what you said, but I think that's where I get that from. Don't kiss every Joe, every Joanna. No, you don't kiss her in the mouth.
You kiss people you love. That's my explanation of it. And I think the fact that if my daughter is inclined to understand me and her kissing in the mouth, she'll be more selective on giving her kiss to anybody. I won't have to tell her.
Perfect. You lead me to my point, and again, I'm going to take it personal. I kiss my daughter on the lips. You know what I'm saying? She comes, she greets me, we kiss on the lips.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother tried to kiss her on the lips. She said no. Only me and daddy do that. I ain't have to say a word. She already know that me and daddy, that's not for nobody else. That's how me and daddy greet. Daddy love me. I love daddy. That's how we greet. Daddy kiss mommy. Daddy kiss me. Ain't nobody else. Daddy ain't kissing nobody else. Ain't nobody else kissing me. It's just, she picked that up. I didn't have to say anything.
But see, the different dynamics I'm hearing, here's what we got. You kiss your kids on the lips.
Mm-hmm.
But you also kiss your family members on the lips as a sign of greeting and departure and love and this, that, and third. You kiss
my kids,
your wife.
My wife. I kiss
and
my
maybe your
too.
Kids yeah. on the lips. But they don't see you kissing the rest of your family members on the lips. So your daughter can say, okay, daddy don't do this with nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I guess where it might become... If you would have to explain what he would. Now me on the other hand, I don't know. I just never, maybe because that was not something we did as a whole in general. But at the same time, we ain't say I love you. Like I said to y'all the other day, like I can't recall a time hearing my daddy ever tell me I love you. I can't recall that. Would I say I believe he loved me? Yeah, of course I would. I can't recall ever hearing it, but each time I talk to mine, whether it be in person, on the phone, whatever,
tell me.
I make it a point to let you know. Right.
But that just because I'm the same way, just shows how not hearing I love you
can affect you.
Yeah. You know, you didn't really think it loved you. You didn't see the effects of it on you until you had your kids, to be completely honest. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want your kids to question anything.
No.
You don't want them to question anything. You don't want them to question your love, your devotion. You don't want any of that to become a question to your kids.
Yeah.
So you make a point to say, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. For no reason. I'll sit there and say, hey, I love you.
Exactly.
And no, but nothing else.
Be watching TV.
Yeah.
And in return, I get that back. My kids will sit there and say, Dad, I love you.
just out of
they go right back to whatever they were doing.
It's a part of their day. It's so simple for them now that they just do it. You're teaching them love at an early age where they don't have to go that 16-year route. Or is able to sustain once they get in the get up to the older age and they get out and about.
Okay, let me shift the conversation for a bit, if I can. What do we do with our peers? What do we do with the people that we are in constant contact with? And they don't even necessarily, when I say peers, that don't necessarily equate to friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, people that you communicate with on a daily or every so often who are or should be on the same understanding level that you are on. How do we now, because this thing is full of hate. Like, hate drives everything. So much so to people wearing shirts, they say, I love my haters. I've never seen something so stupid in my life. Now, it's supposed to be funny and cute, and it's, you know, it's a side, I love my hate. I get what you're saying, but then I don't get what you're saying. So now, if we understand that love is the most powerful emotion, love is the most powerful anything. I don't even know the word to put on it.
Mm-hmm.
Love is the most powerful anything in the world. How do we start evoking it? How do we bring that back to people who have been hurt, or people who have not learned what love is, or people who just don't want love, or people who, whatever, people that you have to deal with?
I think you have to do like Vaughn mentioned earlier. You just have to exemplify love from yourself and try to overcome the obstacle of them either taking the chance of dismissing it or lashing out back at you or taking some out of it. But you have to be consistent in understanding if I don't do it for myself and exemplifying it, it's never going to happen. Now, it's hard because we already pointed out you have to understand that genuine love to get love for yourself and everybody else around you. But once you get there, all the rest of it, as Bone said, is easy.
Do you think it's possible for people to use you if you love them? Can a person use you?
Yeah.
Through love?
Because Satan is real. So, yeah.
How are they using you? Everything you do out of choice. You're not forced to do anything.
Well, that's where you have to be vigilant and realize, I'm not saying that people won't try
right
to use you.
What is using you?
That depends on what you
mean. What going on?
Well, that's what I'm asking. What is the definition of usage? How do you use somebody? Because when I posted it, I wasn't even talking on an earthly level, but I'm just...
When you say use me, I take it as in taking something... You're taking advantage of my genuine. I'm trying to be genuine in whatever it is I'm doing, and you are taking that
to your benefit
and using it in your benefit and my downfall.
Right.
Wait, but if you're trying to help somebody, shouldn't it be taken in their benefit? Ain't that the intent of doing it?
Yeah, as long as I'm not affected in any way, that's where it becomes using to me is when then I'm affected negatively.
How? You chose to do it.
Satan is real. Right? Me doing it is one thing, but you taking it and using it in your advantage and my disadvantage is another.
How can I use something you gave me in your disadvantage?
It's possible.
No, I'm just asking. I'm trying to understand where you're coming from. I'm just trying to...
Then you're asking a specific question. So, I mean, give me a specific example.
Okay. Let's do it this way. Give me an example of someone using you. What you would consider someone using you.
Okay, I'm gonna put it in this way. All right, I genuinely give. Let's just say I'm a coworker,
Yeah. And
I tell you openly, hey man, I know you need some change to get you a snack out machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you say, hey, let me get some change to get some out machine.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. 5 minutes later, hey, let me get some more change, man, so I can get something out of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. If you continuously come to me asking me, we get paid on the same day. I know when I get paid, you get paid. But every day you come and you asking me for change, eventually I'm going to be kind of slow to give you that change. Because now I feel like you're taking advantage of my kindness.
The downfall or the problem with that is that you allow them to do it.
And that's what I'm saying. It's what you allow.
At the end of the day, and this is why I said it gets difficult. Because if I understand love, and love comes from God, and God has allowed this person to keep coming to me and asking me for something that I feel they already have, it's now a challenge to myself. Am I going to give it and not worry about it? Or am I going to question why you keep asking? Or am I just going to outright say no?
Then this is how I deal with that. The moment I question, then that's God telling me something. Either he's telling me you continue to give, or hold on, don't give him this time. He can tell me not to give him this time, and I'll still be doing as he say. I mean, so it's for me, and I'm putting myself out there.
It's all right. But we all do out there.
For me, you know, I speak to God on a daily.
Right.
And I am getting to a point to where I notice when God speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and say I hear God's voice or anything of that nature.
You don't have to clean that
up. I'm just saying, I'm cleaning up for myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that in any way. What I'm saying is if I have a feeling in me, and we all get this feeling, we choose to ignore it, we choose to just defy it, but we all get that feeling of when something we're doing is wrong or something we're doing is right. You got to pay attention to that. So at the moment that I question, then, hey, you're trying to tell me something. I need to open my ears.
I'm gonna make 2 points. First, I'm going to go to this because the fact that you needed to clean that up to me is like, why? Would you continuously communicate with somebody who's ignoring you? Would you continue to talk to somebody who don't talk back to you?
Are we talking about God?
Absolutely, I don't care who it is.
No, if we're talking to God, then I'm going to continue to talk to God because eventually he's going to say something. He may ignore me and not say nothing for years.
So then,
I'm going to continue to talk to him.
When you came to the point where you say, I'm hearing God talk back to me, that's why I said, why are you cleaning that up? You're supposed to hear that. You're supposed to. That's your communication. That's your relationship. Anyway, moving past that, you say he's trying to tell you something. Yeah, it could be that he's trying to tell you. I'm not saying what he's trying to tell you. But it could be he's trying to tell you or ask you, why are you even questioning the giving? If you love, then give. You can't give enough.
But that's what I'm saying, is that's him talking to me. If I question, that could be a moment of weakness for me, and I'm doubting doing what he's saying no, I should be doing.
And the truth of the matter is, fools despise wisdom and discretion. So at the end of the day, you know for yourself what God says.
Yeah.
And sometimes you may get that, and you know what, you'll come back and say to myself, God tells me to continue to give. I don't care
right. How
this work out.
Right.
You may think you're getting over, and this is the point I want to make earlier. When I see usage, and I think this is the point he was going to see, when I see usage, I don't care if you use me if I'm doing it from what I'm supposed to be doing.
It ain't using me no more.
You know what I'm saying? Because I see you laughing, but we laughing together. You laughing at what I'm doing, but I'm laughing at the outcome.
That's it. You're not using me.
No. We sitting here laughing together. We just ain't laughing at each other.
I ain't got to be laughing. All I understand is that you cannot do what I won't allow you to.
Right.
So therefore, there is no such thing as using me. It's either I'm going to do it or I'm not. You don't use me.
Using another word that's been put in one of those negative, it has a negative notation to it because the matrix, once again, is built to be what it wanted.
Yeah.
Because using it isn't bad. If we are here, now, our only requirement is to serve. Through what my understanding is through God.
So it's then everybody uses it.
Okay. Who is last shall be what?
First.
So what does that mean? You can't get there without using something.
You got to use
it. Or being used. So I get it, but the negative notation.
And I just wanted to point
it's
that
kinda
out.
It's kind of like helping. At that time, we said helping. Yeah,
people, you can genuinely have the means, and you were given the means. You weren't given the means to stand above people and say, hey, I got it.
Yeah.
That's not where you were given that. you were giving that to be help to somebody else. I understand why certain people lose money. I get it. I understand why it makes total sense to me. But get out of this whole, I ain't gonna allow nobody to use me, and you want to use me to do this, and you want to use that, please. Who are you?
I really believe this, and I say this all the time, and I know y'all think I'm crazy, but I believe money is so irrelevant to me. But I've learned over time, the way I've been able to keep money is because I willingly and wholeheartedly am open to giving money. And that was a hard lesson to learn, because I was a stingy joker. I was real stingy, man.
Give me my ball.
Yeah.
No, I can't play. If y'all ain't gonna pick me, I want my ball. I'm going home.
Cancel Christmas. The three lights ain't on, but I'm gone.
But that understanding can be applied to everything. Mm-hmm. Anything you want.
Yeah.
You want love? Give it. You want money? Give it. You want whatever it may be? Give it.
It comes back. Everything comes back as supposed to be. Everything. It's so cliche because it's often said if you love something, let it go, it'll come back.
It's the absolute
truth. But it's the truth. And we apply so much to relationships. But the reality is it's with everything. And sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. And I'm saying that from a standpoint of a kid, because sometimes you have to. You know what I mean?
For me, you know, we look at our youth today, look at them and you know how they fighting each other and then recording it now. That's a hot thing Facebook now. They shooting each other up, you know, disrespecting each other, you know, at a young age.
Yeah.
For me, it's that lack of love,
yeah.
A lack of knowing what love is, a lack of receiving love. They don't ever receive it or know what it is. They can't give it to each other. They can't love themselves. So I mean, they gotta get it, and I think that's why we're losing them, because that sense of unity, which also has love in it,
yeah.
You know, is gone now.
Can I say something? Like you mentioned Facebook. There was a point in time where I used to log into Facebook and scroll through my timeline, and it would be mostly negative. It would be mostly drama and all of that. I've noticed a change. I don't know if it's just my time. I don't know. But now I scroll through and I see more God popping up.
Mm-hmm.
More Jesus popping up. More searching popping up. I don't know if anybody else noticed that.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
But there's a change happening. And the only way it's going to continue is if you keep giving. Once you accept that, it opens the mind to give that. If you reject it, you shut people off from reaching and offering that part of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just a side note.
No, but it's a good point, because what it does is makes the reader or the observer or the seer of that on Facebook or reading somewhere or however you come across it, it makes you now realize this is really what I want to see.
Yeah.
I've just been entertained by that because that's all I had.
That's all that was there.
But this is how I feel. Okay, you see it a couple more? Oh, I'm going to try. Right now, at one point, I wouldn't say right now, but at one point, it wasn't cool.
No, right.
You even had people getting on there talking about, well, why you ain't going to talk about God? Everybody want to be a saint on Facebook. Everybody want to do this. Why? Why are you mad because they want to talk about God?
Right. Because, man, that's that. Love will make people mad.
Yeah. Because you love them so much that you mad you didn't get to do it. Or you feel that way, now you lash out.
Or you can just be at a place within yourself where you're not happy with yourself. And anybody else who is not where you are, you have a problem.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I've been there. I didn't want to be around positive people that one point. Because I ain't see. Now, I don't want no negativity around me. To the point where I don't want, like, if you, I just don't. I don't want, I don't understand it. If you don't have this old schoolyard thing, you ain't got nothing to say, just don't talk.
Yeah, say nothing at all.
Just don't say nothing. Let it be, just be quiet. Quietness can be good sometimes.
White is bliss. It really is. What my homeboy do say, a peace of mind is priceless. Peace of mind is priceless. We can't put a tag on it because you can't buy it. How can you put a price tag on something you can't buy? And that's the truth of the matter. Once you see love, brings about all these things.
We're going to start the next civil rights movement. Let's call it love.
Love? Hey, I'm down for it. Hey, I told you, man. God is love. I'm in. I'm all the way in on anything where it got to do with God and love. I'm down.
If you look at everybody you come in contact with, and it may be hard, but then again, I don't think it is. Look at it as God. This person that's standing next to me right now who's trying to bring the worst out of me, if this was God, what would I say to them?
Mm-hmm.
I would say nothing.
You don't look at it as they trying to bring the worst out?
Mm-mm.
Or that?
It don't even take me pointing out what you do.
Mm-hmm. I just see it for what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, this ain't even about me and you.
You know what I learned about silence? And I learned this through marriage more than anything. If you don't say nothing back to me and I'm going all in, I'm talking about I'm all the way in.
Yeah, that's going
to
piss you off.
Oh, man. You just done taught me something. You taught me way more than you would about counteracting what I'm saying. Because now we just both in it. But you don't say nothing. At some point, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to sit down and think about why she didn't say nothing.
You mentioned you were talking about, no, that was the year. You were talking about, no, that was you. I'm sorry. You were talking about the signing into the military and
right.
The commitment that
right.
It takes. And I'm going to have to believe. No, I'm not married now. I have been married. And I didn't understand none of this we're talking about within that.
Right.
But I'm
not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying.
No, it is what it is. I'm going to have to believe that marriage can be compared to, if not, greater than. And I know I've never signed my sworn my life in the military, none of that. I've never done that. But I'm apt to believe that a marriage is on the same level or greater than that commitment. Because I now say, in the military, I'm saying, if I got this right, I'm saying if it comes down to
mm-hmm.
it,
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to put my life and do this, and I give myself up for the country and all this. In marriage, it ain't no if it comes down
mm-hmm.
to it.
This is what it is.
I'm saying right now today, I'm giving myself up. I'm done with me. So what other greater commitment other than your relationship with God do you have? Do you make? Ain't there.
There ain't there.
And that's why the not understanding that leads to the devaluation of marriage that we've seen. When I say I do, I'm saying I'm done.
Yes.
It is no more about
dead.
Me.
You're dead.
I'm dead.
You're dead. Not in a bad way, because I've been dead. I'm telling you, the beautiful death I ever had was on February 9, 2005. The beautiful death. It was a joyous day. All deaths is not bad. I'll go back to that funeral. I'm telling you, it's a homegoing. It really is, even in the logical sense to think about a real funeral. It's a homegoing. You should be glad it's overcoming of this, what
yeah.
we're in.
Yeah.
It really is. So being dead. Once you say you get married, is whatever I had before that is dead. It's done.
You sleep to what used to matter.
Yeah.
And awake to all this stuff I ain't never even seen before. I got to learn life all over again.
It's the equivalent of finding, you're right, it is. It's the closest thing we have to a relationship with God. It goes back to being born.
It's bigger than, and I hate it, I didn't want to say it. But that relationship should, if you understand it, that relationship should overtake the relationship you have with your mama. It should.
The Bible says so.
It should. It's hard to conceptualize. But it should.
It does.
And once you obtain it, it'll make sense to you.
It does.
Because saying it don't even sound right.
It doesn't.
Once you gain that, it'll make sense to you.
No, and I have to just be totally honest. It does. It's the aspect. If you ask me a question outwardly, I'm going to say one thing that will probably lean more towards, I'm going to say, no, I'm not going against my mama for that. But in action, I've been put to the test before. And my heart is where my heart is. And that's not saying that I'm saying my heart is not with my mom. It's just saying my responsibility lies.
You don't have, exactly. You don't have the same responsibility.
Yeah, my responsibility lies. Yeah, one thing I do know. Mama love is unconditional. That doesn't mean I use it to my advantage, but why is that a bad thing? Because we just pointed out they use that. Mama is supposed to give unconditional love. We said we're going to give out your unconditional love.
That's your responsibility.
Right. So in that, it comes an understanding for mama, too.
Yeah.
And I remember my mama saying, my wife, when we first got married, she said, now he yours, now.
It sounded funny.
Yeah, yeah. But she meant what she said.
She was absolutely.
It goes back to what we were saying earlier.
That's why in the ceremony, the father, and we don't understand this stuff, Corey, didn't understand this stuff, like, conceptually. It was just part of a ceremony. But
right,
this
right.
man stood in front of me and said, here, I hand you my daughter's life. She's no more, I don't have that place no more. You take that. You become husband and daddy. That's crazy. If you understand that responsibility and you understand what this man is saying to you, and I'm apt to believe every man that most men love their daughters like that.
Yeah.
So for you to be able to stand there and give your daughter to another man,
I don't even want to think about it.
It's hard,
okay.
even
all right.
Because nobody's ever going to be good enough, though, and that's the selfish part of
right.
That's a perfect example of selfish love. Ain't nobody ever going to love my daughter as much as I love my daughter. So no one is ever going to be good enough. I don't care how good of a man you are. You ain't never going to be good enough for my daughter.
Because he ain't you.
He ain't me. And
yeah,
but that's selfish of me.
Yeah.
That's selfish of me to think like that.
Because we just don't want to. So we have to.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But being honest, we just being honest. I don't see that changing. You know what I mean? I would hope it would. And I love God with everything in me. And I hope he work on me some more to get that. But my daughter is my world.
Your wife was somebody's daughter then. She
right.
was a baby.
Yeah. But think about the old traditions. You were talking about traditions and the father giving away. Another tradition that we have lost as a culture, I was one of them,
yes.
asking the father for that woman's hand in marriage.
Because you have to understand, I'm asking
right.
for the ring.
Right.
I'm asking you to relinquish control over the daughter.
Exactly.
That's disrespectful to say, I'm going to marry you, but I'm going to talk to your father. That's absolutely
And that's why I say that. I put myself in that because I did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my wife just decided to get married. I didn't consult my parents, and nor did she. No, I did not go to her father and ask for her hand in marriage. And that bothers me a little bit, even today, because I would want that respect from someone that would wanted to marry my daughter.
That was a learning moment.
It was. And so, you know, I have not had this conversation with my father-in-law.
But you.
But I will.
Well, you will now. You see? And that's what it's all about.
And
he's
going to
respect it more now.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to tell you why. Because I was just going to say this. I didn't get all this, but I did it because it was a tradition of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand really what I was asking for. It was just a pre-request to the marriage.
Right.
I knew he was going to say, yeah, I had to do it. Now, understanding it, he probably didn't get the genuineness of me that he would get today. That you won't give your father.
I'm apt to believe. Now, I don't know what kind of relationship you got. It ain't my business. Your marriage is your marriage. But I'm apt to believe. After you have that conversation, and after this man, if he understands what it is you come in and say to him, when he blesses your marriage, take off. It could be on cloud 20 right now. Look for 50. Because you have the blessing of the Father. All this stuff ties in together, and Corey does not understand. I'm getting it as I'm talking. But I can tell you about this. I know I say all the time that we say, but y'all already know, that when I got married for life. And I don't think I never could see doing it again, because how can I give away something I ain't got no more? And then I already gave that away. But if stars align and my mind changes and things work out the way they do, and I end up getting married again, you can bet your bottom dollar. You can bet the last 50. I didn't say bet a penny to a nickel.
It's on.
This understanding, dog, is everything. And that's why I understand now why people say you should wait till you understand what you're doing before you do it. It's not just something to jump into because it's, okay, I want to have legal sex, or I think I love you. I think you're the one I want to be with. It's a whole lot more that goes into that. It's a whole lot more.
I'm going to say this. I mean, my bad, Dad.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this. It will make things a lot easier
if
you take that route. Because I'm not going to say that you can't
make it happen.
Make it happen. that way, taking that path, you know what I'm saying? It'll make things a lot easier if you deal with that type of stuff before you get married.
Absolutely.
I know we said on another show that, you know, I thought I knew what life was with somebody
mm-hmm.
prior to getting married, and then I realized with that same person, can live with that person, think, well, you know, unmarried, and then get married is completely different.
So, back to the shacking question, I think you brought this up. Mm-hmm. When we were doing the old TOAB show, what mm-hmm. about shacking and this stuff? Maybe it's a little different when you take them vows because now God steps in.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't in it before. This is what you're doing with another person. You ain't come before me. You ain't do none of that. You skipping all that. You feel like that's unnecessary. So I don't need to be in that.
Mm-hmm. Record.
It's two of y'all. Y'all handle that. But when you come before me and say you vow and you're going to do this and you that, okay, now I'm in the middle. Now I'm going to have to take some pieces out of you and take some pieces out of you so that y'all can. It's going to get hard.
Now the party's called.
I bet you I'm willing to ask all both of y'all this, and I can answer it too. But if you line up today or previously being married in the good times, bad, whatever, I ain't going to say good, bad, whatever, would you trade it in for what you had previously?
No.
Previous to marriage?
Right now. No. I mean, without a doubt.
No.
And in some days, I'm not going to sit here and be unrealistic. In some days, I feel like, oh, boy, for real, this is what we're doing today. But I take that day every day over that day by myself saying, oh, boy, is this what we're doing today?
It ain't even the necessarily by myself part. It's, I think as men, though, it's like it's a part of you that's created to be
with them.
Protector, be provider, be. And without that, you're missing a part of
you.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you search for that. So I don't think it's necessarily an issue of being alone or being with someone. I think it's a part of finding that whole you. Now I understand a different side of me now. If I can go back.
Go ahead.
Nah, you talking about putting yourself out.
No.
If I can go back with the understanding I have now, I would go back understanding that 95% of the things that I fought for, I already had.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You fight for position, you fight for this, and you fight for that. Never realizing that you already had it. This is going the way. This whole thing is patterned after your personality.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, that's a true statement.
This whole
thing is patterned after you.
Look at it. You look at anybody marriage that you know.
That's a true
look at the man's personality and see what type of marriage they
have. That's a true statement. That's a real true statement.
You're right.
That's a true statement, and it hit me.
Because anything that happens in that relationship, the man sets the standard of whether or not. If he allows it, it's going to happen. If he puts his foot down and say no, it ain't going to happen. So you absolutely right.
Absolutely.
I was in total conflict with myself and my personality and everything about me before I even got married. So that, all I did was brought my conflict into that whole situation, and it just turned out into one big conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I could say that. I could be honest.
You know what I mean?
But at the end of the day, once I know better.
You do better.
Hey, so I may have to live with this one for the rest of my life. But in that, I can still say to somebody else.
You got your mind.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't walk away from the board. You took everything he wanted for you to have on.
Absolutely.
Now, could you say that some of that, what you learned, you just recently learned?
I mean, I tell you, like, life has changed for me in the last year and a half. I'm still lost. I'm still lost. I'm still trying to put pieces of puzzles together. And that may be the problem. I'm trying to put the pieces together instead of just allowing
the puzzle what they mean. They don't follow what they mean, man.
But at the end of the day, the understanding that's coming out of everything in the last year and a half, I wouldn't trade my life for it.
That's as your homeboy,
mm-hmm.
knowing some of the things that you have gone through, that's big for me. So here you say, You know what you just said, that you wouldn't change that. That's deep.
I would, because
true.
I can't sit here and say to you that I can sit here and have this conversation with y'all. Everything I'm saying to y'all is what I believe from the bottom of my heart. Period.
That's love.
That's love. I just say that that sums up the whole show for me.
That's love.
That show that sums up the whole show for me is that you have gained a different perspective, outlook on love itself, and it has affected you. It has changed you for the better. I've done the same thing just within the last year myself. I have completely, I thought I knew love, even as a married man, I thought I knew love. And, you know, I've come to realize that I don't know love. Love was what I wanted it to be, but that wasn't real love. And that's big for me.
Yeah. It's real. It's real.
It's real, real. And you know what, I'm going to say this, and I ain't going to do too much, but I'm going to say this. I love love. Because they love me.
Mm.
And that's all the explanation I need to give. Really, at the end of the day for me, because I can testify, if I really wanted to go into a deep sphere. But I'm going to tell you this. What I couldn't see for myself, love walked me through some times. I'm talking about some hard times. And guided me to where I'm at today. If it wasn't for love, I would not be. It just defines me in a whole. So if I can do everything in my power from this point on in my life to exemplify that same love that saves me, I've done all I need to do. That's it. And that's my mission. On every day I wake up, I lay down, I go through the day, I think about, I want to love. That's all I want to do. And in return, like you say, what you give, you get.
It's free.
It's free. People don't even know we love to be around me.
They don't know. Don't know. I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? And it's not. And I'm thinking like, what is it about me? Not you. It's the love.
It's what's showing through.
It's the love. It's a beautiful thing, man. What time we got, boys? It's about time to close it up.
Yeah, man.
Man, I enjoyed this show. As I said, starting it out, love is one of my favorite, is my favorite topic. Well, no, God is my favorite, but the love of God is the same for me. So it's the same thing. It's my favorite topic. I talk about it all day. I'm going to tell you this now. The conversation probably is going to get better once we go off the air because we have a time limit. But we will continue to talk about this. I know that because it's a conversation we love talking about. But experiencing love is an interrupted place in the mind.
Yeah.
It really is. You don't forget that. Boys, what y'all got for him, man? We close this thing out.
Deuces.
Hey, man. What did you say? Sunday? We'll see y'all Wednesday.
See y'all Wednesday. Then, with that being said, lock your doors and open your hearts to the Lord. Hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Boys in unison.
T-O-A-B out.
Life the same old way. Try or slowly eat away at me. I need a touch from the Lord today. Oh, revival. We must reconcile. I wanna be like Jesus. Deliver, set free. How can I reach out to someone else when I ain't got it together myself? I'm just stuck playing the cards I was dealt. In my heart, I'm crying out for help. I'm looking for purity, self-control and immunity. Said I wanna be like Jesus, deliver. Set free.
Better than I was before.
I was before.
Oh Lord, please start
over.
I need more of you. More of you.
More of you.
Oh. More of your love, your strength, your mercy.
More
of your peace. Lord, I need
better
than I
me better. Make me better. Now that I have more.